Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. Ooh, okay. So let's talk about if you're in a season of not dating and you meet a guy who you are really attracted to, who is amazing, would you tell him about your season of singleness? Would you consider ending it for the right guy? Do you ever use such a line to let guys down easily? Because I liked your response for that.
Okay. Thank you. So yes, I have been on the other end of this. And I'm honestly still left wondering a bit, because it's the type of thing that I met this person, and very shortly after he decided he needed to go and close singleness. So I was left wondering, like, well, when you come out of it or what, or, you know, and so honestly, it's left me with a little bit of a confused mindset on the closed singleness thing, because I think, you know, it occurs to me, okay, yes. So if you do meet a potential one, you know, that really stands out while you're in closed singleness, then what's the right thing to do? Kind of like you were asking. And, you know, for me, I was, at the time, really feeling like we were a great match. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, then I start asking questions like, well, you know, trying to figure out, well, how long is this going to be, you know, and different questions like that. And so, yeah, I don't have a great answer, because I really do have more questions than anything on that particular subject. You know, if I were to put myself in that position, you know, I think I would tend to give somebody a time frame or something, especially if I wanted to hang on to them. But also, if I really felt like it was a God thing of meeting the person, then, you know, somewhat I'd be like, okay, isn't this kind of defeating the purpose, you know? And that's really hard, I think. But I've not gotten from the situation that I experienced, I've not gotten a clear picture as to how long or why or anything. And so it made it very difficult to know how to proceed on my part, because, you know, I'm not one of those people who's looking to rush into anything. So I was honestly willing to wait if I knew that I was waiting for something. Yeah. And so, yeah, it definitely left me confused. And I think that would be something I would encourage guys to at least be clear in what their plan is, you know, and clear whether this is interest deferred or whether it is a never, you know. And I can see how the guy would not want to keep the girl waiting. I did not wait. You know, I went ahead and when I saw nothing was happening for a while, I went ahead and did, you know, get to know the guys. But at the same time, you know, he's in the back of my mind. And so because it's been left unclearly, so that would be the thing I would say is just please be clear and say, you know, that you would be interested in pursuing something after your closed singleness if you choose to have the closed singleness supersede your interest.
Agreed. Yeah, because I've never personally been in an official, like, closed season of singleness. I've taken time off dating, but I wouldn't have called that, like, a closed season of singleness.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I liked this question because I'm like, I don't even know how I would answer this because I've never been there, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I actually know who that question came from.
That's always fun, you know?
Yeah. And I'm like, I know why you're asking it. But it's fine. But it's still, like, I think the point too of, like, do you ever use that as a line to let somebody down is, like, is huge, you know?
Yes.
Like, instead of just being like, oh, hey, like you said, make it clear one way or another. Are we waiting until after you're done, or right. is it a no never thing? You know, just say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because that is not kinder to be unclear like that, you know, and it just doesn't turn out better yet.
Yeah. I've had a conversation with a lot of people recently how sometimes we in the Christian realm will over spiritualize things and like use God as a crutch.
Very true. That's an awesome statement. Awesome point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Instead of just saying the hard thing of like, you know, I'm just not interested in you. Like, I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Yes, I agree. And I think sometimes we, here's a rabbit trail. We
let's go.
wait for God to lead on decisions that maybe we're supposed to make. And also one of the things that I like to think about is, I don't remember the verse, but talking about God leading our steps. God doesn't lead us sitting on the couch, not moving. Mm. And so we do sometimes have to make a decision before he shows us more of the way, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Say it louder for the people in the back. you know, we're not, because I know exactly which passage you're talking about, but I'm like, I can't think of the exact verse either, but I know what you're talking about. But it also like points to, you know, faith without works is dead. Like if you're not stepping out in faith and actually making steps to act out that faith, then it's still dead. Like you're still not fulfilling what we're set out to do. So
that's a good point. Yes, definitely.
That's a little soapbox moment.
for sure.
I mean, that's something I've had to learn, you know, like instead of sitting back and going, oh, I'm just waiting for my guy to come knocking on the door.
Exactly.
I have to still put myself out there, which is scary.
Yes. Yes. And I was even debating today, literally, what percent is us and what percent is God? And then that goes into one of the other questions of, is there the one? Because then that's going to be a little bit different in the way that you do it. Because if God's bringing him, then all I have to do is work on me, you know, pretty much. But if it's up to me to find him, then that puts a whole different spin on it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Huh. I'm gonna have to mull on that one for a little
while. When you figure out the answer, let me know.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. I need to like bring that in, but because now you have my mind like reeling. But that's so true though. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, then I mean it would help so much to know, because then you would handle it in a different way, you know.
Exactly. Like how, I mean, because we know we have free will, right? And so it's like, okay, so at what point does that free will coincide with God's plan?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Whew, yes. Mind is blown on that one.
I know, it's like a little bit beyond comprehension there. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things that we're going to have to ask him in heaven and be like, okay, so what was this really?
I know, right? I wish I could ask him right now.
I know, but I don't think our brains can handle the capacity or have the capacity for that, you know?
Probably, yeah. Probably in the same realm as quantum physics, you know?
Yeah. Well, exactly, because he's not in time. So, yes. And we are in time. So that's, ooh, okay. Yep. We're going to have to reel in this rabbit trail. I'm going to be up late tonight contemplating all of these things.
Right?
Oh my gosh. That is so true though. Yep. Because I mean, you throw in predestination too. And like, are we literally predestined to meet our quote one, or is there more than one? Because there's different stages of life. And like, you know, sometimes we'll lose a spouse or a partner or whatever. And does that mean we're just stuck with not having anybody else? You know,
my answer to that question, and of course, you know, I don't know, but my opinion on that is that because God knows the future, God knows if we are going to lose a spouse, and therefore our one could turn into our two. So in other words, I think that it could be set up the same way, just that he knows it's going to happen more than once, you know? And so that's my theory, that it's still like our one, but our one at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's a really good point too. Yeah.
Believe me, I've been thinking about this a lot. So.
I love it. Thanks. You know, it's just, I think this is another thing too, like where we sometimes get caught up in like fear of like, yes, we can mess it up, you know, yes, but if we really have faith, yes, we can't mess it up.
Exactly. Faith versus fear. I mean, they antidote each other. Mm-hmm. And so if we're having a fear moment, we have to work on building our faith, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I kind of realized, it was actually something I took from a sermon, which, I mean, you know, it's obviously in the Bible, but you know, that they're direct antidotes, then just building your faith can reduce your fear. And honestly, I have days or even within the day that I swing back and forth and I can tell which I'm in, you know? Yeah. And, you know, fear says you're running out of time, you're never going to find him, you know, and faith says a lot, fear says a lot more than that, but that's the short version. And then faith says, God's got it all worked out. It's going to be so beautiful, so much better than you can expect, so much better than your wildest dreams. I mean, not perfect, of course, but like the person, the experience that, you know, that he's going to exceed your expectations and the wait is going to be worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's when faith takes over for however long it takes over, one day, 1 hour, whatever. And then, you know, you have to fight fear again, you know? Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, the fear comes in of the thing that some people actually are posting about today is that, you know, God doesn't guarantee us a spouse. He's never spoken to me and said, you're going to get married. You know, I will tell you something really weird, rabbit trail, but I've had two different dreams where I was asking people in the dream, you know, it wasn't dreaming that I was asking God, but, and I don't put a lot of stock in dreams generally, but this is for, I guess, the amusement factor of nothing else. But the first dream, I asked two different people if I was going to get married and they both nodded yes. The second dream, this was, you know, significant, you know, I don't know, month or two apart, I guess. The second dream, I asked somebody if I was going to get married in the dream, and he was like, definitely, you know. So anyway, we'll see if that's right or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I've had this conversation a couple times where it's like, when you have that desire, you know, it's there for a reason, whether it's something that God placed there because he's preparing you for it, or, you know, it's just like the natural human desire, but like he's also, that also doesn't mean you're going to get it, because sometimes we have to sacrifice things, right? And yes, not just marriage and children, and like, you know, there's other things, right? Right. Yeah. You know, there's many things that can be considered a desire.
Right.
But, you know, I've personally prayed, like, I don't even know how many times, you know, like, if this is not of your will, Lord, like, remove the desire, you know? So that's how I kind of like judge it, is if that thing starts to fade away, then obviously it wasn't something that he wanted for me. But if it grows stronger, then I'm like, okay, well, this is going to happen. It just might, or it's just not going to be on my time. Not might be. It will not be on my time, because
it's not. I can guarantee. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, so some question that I've asked a couple of guys that I've gotten to know, including the one that I was referring to a minute ago about the close season dating. But I ask, so desire for marriage originate with us, or does God put that desire in us?
Ooh. Hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, I would say, I'm like, now that I'm thinking about it, it would make sense that he puts it in us because that was representation of his whole, you know, relationship and like, and what the church as his body is supposed to be. You know, we are a representation of that marriage. So
I agree with you. And I also agree with you for another reason, which is, can you think about something in your life that you've always wanted? So like for me, it's really been marriage. Like I was under 7 when I knew that I wanted to be married. It's never changed since then. Like absolutely new. But then I have acquired desires, like through life, you know, partway through, I got the desire to try dancing, like country dancing and stuff. And I like it, but it's not a desire of my heart. It's very different. Mm-hmm. It's an acquired taste. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whereas the other thing I feel like I was born with is a love for animals. So I think God put that. So I liken that and desire for marriage as being much more similar and much more things that God put in me as my essence. And so you see the difference. You know, you can like dancing, I acquired sometime as, I don't know, I was 20 or so. You know, that was not something, I wasn't born a dancer, you know.
Right.
But I feel like I was born an animal lover and pretty much born with the desire to be married. So my inclination is, yes, to say that God put the animal lovingness in there. God put the desire for marriage in there. Now, without, since these will be anonymous, I will speak on one other thing, which is a little confusing, which the desire for kids has actually flip-flopped back and forth.
Okay.
So I don't know what God is doing with that. I actually, when I was young, like probably 10 to maybe 18 or 19 or somewhere in the teens, 10 to somewhere in the teens, I was obsessed with children, like wanted to hold them, babysit them, everything all the time, wanted to have 10, all of that. And then in my 20s, at least by then, it disappeared. And I really don't know what God's will is in that area at this point. I'm kind of non-committal, you know, one way or the other. Like, I think I'm going to discuss it with the person, you know. And, but it's like, okay, so what is God doing with that? Is it because of my age that, I mean, I'm not too old technically now. I'm not quite 37. So it's, you know, it, but it, or is God removing that because it's not going to happen? You know, so it's just weird. And I don't post about that much in the groups just because I don't want somebody to make a preconceived decision. I want to be able to discuss it with them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm still open to it. It's just like, it's not a craving like getting married is, you know?
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
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 So I guess we won't know for a while on all of this, but yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you bring up such great points though. Like, again, for me, it's always, I'm like, always had the desire to be married, always had the desire to be a mom. And, you know, so on the flip side, like I've talked to guys in the past where they're like, oh, you know, they're either a single dad, so they already have some kids.
Yeah.
Or they are the type of guy that, you know, just doesn't want kids in general. And I'm over here like, well, you know, because like, because some of the single dads I've talked to, let me clarify, some of the single dads I've talked to, they're like, oh, I don't want any more kids. Like, I have kids. I don't want any more kids, you know? Yes. And then I'm like, but I want them.
Sounds like we need to trade people. We need to work together here and send the other, send each other guys.
Yes. I'm just like, don't get me wrong, I have no problem being a bonus mom whatsoever.
Yes.
I just also was like my own, if the Lord allows. Yeah.
For sure.
You know, and so that's just always been something that I've had to have that conversation and be like, so is this like a hard no thing, or is this like a something you're open to? You know, yeah. Where are you on that spectrum? Because if it's a hard no, then we have no business continuing to talk, because I know that this is a hard yes.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah, no. And that's where it's great to know yourself. And it's weird because I would say that subject is kind of the only one that's up in the air for me. Everything else, I'm pretty opinionated on, you know. So funny.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we have to be in today's age.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I feel like the older we get too, the more we're like, we're a little more stuck in our ways. And, you know, like, yeah, no, I have this opinion and that's it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. And, you know, one thing I was thinking of too, before we leave this particular subject is, you know, the passages about desires of our heart and God granting desires of our heart. Mm-hmm. And so then some of it's like, okay, well, let's define a desire of our heart. And I would say, I mean, you know, again, I would compare it a little bit to maybe the desires of our heart are the desires that he's put in us, because they are stronger and more enduring. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I want to be married despite the fact that not all the marriages I've witnessed are good, you know, so I could have gotten scared off, you see. Mm-hmm. But then also something else as far as the desires of our heart. So God took my love for animals and made it my calling, I believe, to rescue animals. And like, I started my nonprofit and everything. And, you know, so I feel like God put that in me because he wanted to do something with it. And so I feel like that was definitely a desire of my heart. I also had another desire of my heart, which was to meet my favorite singer. And that may seem shallow. That may seem less, you know, important, but it was one of those things that wouldn't go away, gnawing at me for 3 years. Finally met my favorite singer, which was wonderful. I could go off into that. But here's the thing. God had more in mind. He not only satisfied that desire. We're now friends. Like, I mean, we interact much more than a fan and you know, would. And, but God had something way deeper in mind that I could have never imagined. And I actually met my best friend because of my favorite singer. We actually met at one of his concerts, but we actually met on one of his pictures on Facebook. So, I mean, God can take something that we want and make it so much bigger than we ever imagined. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what, in retrospect, I see, okay, God let that be a desire of my heart because it was going to lead to part of his plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, before I go off on my little rant about that, I want to know who this favorite singer is.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's, have you heard of the Irish Tenors?
Yes.
They will. Okay. Yes. So it's Anthony Kearns of the Irish Tenors. He's the one that stands in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And I would probably say he was like my first or second crush too, you know? And so, you know, I saw him on PBS and everything back in the 90s. Was totally obsessed, not only with his voice, but just personality, expression, all that, looks, all that. And so anyway, yeah, I literally tried to learn everything I could about him.
Yeah.
And in September 17th, we just passed the anniversary, September 17th, 2001, I actually got to meet him when he came to Tennessee and did a solo concert here. And so I have a picture with him, which I don't have to insert here, but would like to. And then, you know, got to meet him afterwards at a meet and greet that they had. I mean, that's where the picture was taken. And then it was crazy. Went, you know, I was satisfied after that, you know, got to talk to him, ask him some questions, was satisfied after that, did not see him for 15 years. And then he came back to Nashville with the Irish Tenors, and we had become Facebook friends shortly before that. And so I ended up getting to meet up with him there and get another picture with him. It was 15 and a half years to the day. Crazy. Wow. It was a St. Patrick's Day. And so then I have that picture, and then I have a picture with the Irish Tenors. They were not actually doing a meet and greet, but Anthony let me come up. So it was crazy. Come up to the green room, you know?
Yeah.
And then basically we stayed in touch, and like now I've eaten breakfast, lunch, and dinner with them. It's crazy. I've become like one of the little VIP ladies that follows him around. I mean, I don't follow him everywhere, but when he's in my area, you know, whether it's like the Southeast, you know? And so, you know, sometimes he'll wish me a happy birthday. Sometimes I'll wish him a happy birthday. You know, it's just crazy. So I'm very satisfied with the way that turned out. And then meeting Laura through him was insane. Like I said, we met on a photo. It was a photo of her with him. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, blah, blah, blah. I forget what, you know, what we said. We became instant friends. We've been friends ever since. We met for the first time at one of his concerts in Williamsburg, Virginia. Nice. And that's actually the only time we've been in person together, but we do video calls and text every day. And she is like, again, like she is an example of what gives me hope for finding that man is before her, I'd always wanted a best friend, and I had tried to become best friends with certain girls, and they just wouldn't have it. Mm-hmm. And then Laura comes along and she blows them all out of the water. Like she's so perfect for me. And vice versa. Very similar personality types. I'm an extrovert, she's an introvert. And, you know, we're so well matched that we actually started this joke of, I just need a male you, that's all. Yeah, that'll be perfect. Yep. And so, you know, so she does restore my faith in dreams, you know, because dreams as in not, you know, nighttime dreams, but in wishes, you know. And honestly, there's just no way for me to believe that God didn't bring us together very specifically and even create us to be best friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just unbelievable. Neither of us had had a best friend. And when I became friends with her, I didn't think there was any way I could possibly, you know, I could possibly be her best friend, rather. But she was my best friend, and then come to find out I'm her best friend, you know? And it's, so anyway, it's just amazing. The way that all that worked out. So anyway, I can make that story longer, but that's enough of that, but just one of God's blessings for sure. That turned out to be a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So story time. So I was in a bunch of different groups last year around this time. And I was actually adminning one of them.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. But anyway, it's fine. So through those groups, I met like so many different people. Right. And, we all have been like jokingly celebrating our 1 year anniversaries.
That's like,
and so it was really cute. Like yesterday was one with two different girls, and they have been, we three of us have been through a lot together also, but we haven't actually met in person yet. So we're hoping.
Yes.
We're hoping. But the only reason that I'm in 824 is because of one of the guys that I met in this other group last year. And so if you think about that and how now I'm doing this because of that friendship, and it's just like, wait, what?
Exactly. Wow. So neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and he and I haven't actually met in person yet either. Like we're going to get to meet for the first time at the meetup in November. So I'm excited about that. Like, and we're homies, and it's just like, yeah, I'm like, dude, I needed more guy friends. And like, you came along, and I also needed more girlfriends. And so I have a ton more of those.
maybe even 80 or whatever.
Yeah, I know, right? By the end of this, I'm gonna have over 100.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so crazy.
Which is so cool though, because it's all about the community. And I had been praying about community for a really long time, and I wasn't expecting it to come from online. Like, I really honestly wasn't. And here it is. So I will take it. You know, and I'm gonna try my hardest to go to as many meetups as I financially can.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because I want to be able to meet everybody in person. Quite a few of the ladies that I've already interviewed will be there. So in November. So
that's right. Now, what location is the November one?
It's in Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I might miss that one, but I've heard that some people from 824 are coming to Nashville in the end of October. And then they're having, you know, the HOD conference in Nashville, which I mostly want to go to meet anybody from, you know, the groups, you know, the various groups.
Yeah. So let's keep this 1 to 15 minutes as best we can. Okay. Because I'm curious to hear your perspective. So because you talked about in the question, what are your expectations as far as a man leading?
I knew it was going to be that way.
Yep. I'm like, I want to know, because I feel like, yes.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
You know. Yes.
So very interestingly, you know, I do love a lot of traditional stuff, you know, the guy doing some traditional guy things, but I get jumpy very easily because we have this whole thing of, I feel like a lot of guys out there, won't put a number or percent, but kind of embrace the part of the Bible that talks about the wife submitting, but yet you don't see a lot of guys going out there going, I want to die for my wife. You know, what about that part of the, you know, verse? I think it's like the same verse, the same passage, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it sort of gets me jumpy because I have seen it, definitely seen it done wrong. Mm-hmm. And it really unnerves me because, you know, here we are human, we are not perfect. And so to recreate what God has in mind may not be perfect, therefore. And so I think, yeah, my fear gets in there when it comes to the patriarchal movement, a very heavy-handed man who basically takes the control and leaves the responsibility. And that scares me a lot. And I think I would almost rather, you know, I don't want to be unbiblical, but I would almost rather lean toward the direction of, you know, a mutual partnership, which again, I think is part of what the Bible is talking about, but people like argue that point because then it's, you know, then it gets pushed farther, but you know, the wife's submitting, you know, and all that. And so there's such a fine line. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think, I don't think he's in the group anymore, but there was a post back that was pretty good about this subject. But it's like leading is fine. Like I'm not power hungry. I'm not, you know, I don't have to lead. I mean, I lead my own organization, but I'm not this, you know, person that's bent on leading. I would love for my husband to open up the Bible. And if I did have a family to lead, be the spiritual leader. I'm good with that, you know, and that there are lots of ways it looks fine. You know, if it's done perfectly, obviously the Bible has a good, you know, standard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you think of Jesus, how controlling did he seem? He never struck me as controlling. You know what I mean? Like there was this gentleness and grace about how he handled people. And I honestly think we as humans have trouble emulating that. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, it's one of the big questions that I ask guys is, how do you see the gender roles? And I recently had a guy answer me, and he had some of it right, and he had some of it not right. And so that was kind of the end of that, because I really don't want to be stuck in a power struggle. That's not what it's about. And one of the things that I think it's Ephesians 5, maybe 5:33, but where it talks about women respect your husbands and husbands love your wives. Mm-hmm. But it does seem to be very important that men appreciate respect above all and women appreciate love above all. Mm-hmm. And so there, to me, is an example of how it's very mutual. You're, you know, it's not this women respect your husbands, end of story.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's almost, I think it's also encouraging us to do our lesser strong point, because I think we as women, we tend to love people easily. Mm-hmm. Respect is not like, it might take a woman a second to go, okay, well, how do I respect? Like, we don't respect each other. Like, exactly. We tend to love each other, you know, mm-hmm. but men tend to respect each other and maybe not love each other. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's almost like the language that we speak is different genders. And so I think it's interesting that God knew what each gender needed. Mm-hmm. And some of that, the Love and Respect book written by Emerson Eggerich, it talks about that some. And I haven't read the whole book, but I think the part in the Bible, I can certainly feel like I understand that. Isn't that interesting that God knew what was important? And I feel like that verse gets skipped over, and kind of all you hear is women submit to your husbands, women submit to your husbands. And it's like, there's so much more to it. And if the rest gets forgotten, then you're going to have an oppressive relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And if the part that's important to the guy is the wife submitting to him, then that is concerning. Like if somebody puts in their bio, like they only have 500 words and they put in their bio, I want to be the head. I want, you know, this and that. The concern is a red flag, because I'm like, you could say so many things, but if you're concerned about the woman submitting to you above all, then we could have a problem here, you know? And again, it's such a fine line, because obviously I believe the Bible, I agree with the Bible, but there's more. You can't just isolate that part. So I think that's kind of my soapbox on this, you know, this situation, but just that the kind of love that Jesus provided the church was obviously incredible and even kind of beyond our comprehension. Mm-hmm. And so you have to combine that with the wife submitting part in order for it to be a loving relationship, you know, and in order for it not to become some sort of tyranny, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what my fear is I don't want to be a doormat. Then on the flip side, I'm not the feminist person that's not going to make my husband a doormat. You right. know what I mean? Nobody should be the doormat in the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm all like, I'm just going to let that roll right there. I agree. And I went and I looked it up, because I was like, is it 33? It is verse 33, by the way. So Ephesians 5:33. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So nevertheless, this is the NSAB version, or NASB, sorry. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So, ding.
You know, when you think of the way that it's put, loving his wife as himself, that's a pretty significant love there, you know, because generally as humans, unless we have severe, you know, esteem issues or something, we tend to love ourselves mm-hmm. even too much, you know, I mean, that's often the battle. And so I think that's kind of the heaviness of that verse, the impact of that verse is definitely there. So I feel like it's much more balanced than I think comes out in sort of the preaching of the husband wife roles as it's often described. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have very specific opinions as to why that is, but we don't have time for that. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.